You are listening to the Regal Poet Radio Show with your host, Imone M. Prosper. Are you tired of being undervalued as an artist? Do you have a passion to sell your art but don't know where to start? Are you on a successful path but need encouragement? Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. Every week, we focus on topics that are set for the professional artists fully engaged in the creative economy. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, poet, entrepreneur, and the advocate for the creative arts economy. Our mission is to feed the artists who spend their life creating profound experiences within their art with the best practical and advanced practices they need to be empowered, energized, confident, and prepared. If you are a beginner, you need this. If you're a seasoned veteran, you need this. And with 12 years of experience behind me, the Regal Poet Radio Show is not only designed to deliver the best information, but this platform allows you to hear from successful industry leaders and poet entrepreneurs making a major impact in the world of poetry. What we know is that it is easy to find an open mic to perform, but there are a small number of places for the professional poets to go to learn how to build a thriving poetry career or business. Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, as we focus every week on the topics to help build up your entrepreneurial of the arts business. Share, leave a comment, or chat live with me, Imone M. Prosper, every Thursday, 12 noon, on blogtalkradio.com/Regal Poet, where I am committed to developing not only a respected line of professional poets, but savvy poets with additional E on the end for entrepreneur. So make your lunch hour powerful and come get poet savvy with Regal Poet Radio. Welcome to the Regal Poet Radio Show. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and this is the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. I'm so glad to have you guys here. Again, I'm hoping you're having a great lunch. I love having this at lunchtime, even though it gets so frantic right before the show. But I just like the fact that we have the whole rest of the day to take what we learn and go ahead and apply it to the rest of our day. So, and you know, we're all about action here, and that's one of the reasons why we have the show during this time, simply because of that. We want you to be able to take action, take what you know, and bring it forth to what you're doing, whether you are working on your creative arts business or you're at the cuff right now, just basically working at your job, because, you know, you're an entrepreneur there too. You're an entrepreneur. They call that the me entrepreneur there. So that can help you excel. So I hope that something you learned today will definitely lead you to the next level. So today our topic is coming in second and what that position really means. On Facebook, we said, you know, first or second, you know, what each of those positions mean. And I like this topic, and I'll tell you why. I am a big fan of a sales expert, because I'm really into business, but the sales expert by the name of Grant Cardone. He is now based in South Florida. Before, when I first was exposed to him, he was in California. And the first book I read was called The 10X Rule, and really, really opened my eyes to what it means to be a leader, and especially in business, and what being a leader, what I like about him is that he talks about being a leader overall. So, you know, shout out to Grant Cardone, who moved here recently about it's probably been 2 years, 3 years now, and is doing his thing. He has a program called Young Hustlers, and he's just dedicated to making sure that he can eradicate that disparity of the youth going into the market. So he's building up some entrepreneurs that way. So, you know, that grabbed my attention as well. But the 10X rule basically just says everything you do, add it 10 times, and you'll definitely see a push, a shift in your sales, a shift in your business, a shift even, he says, like, in your marriage, anything. You'll see a big shift if you apply 10 actions to it. Now, I like the fact that he says you're not necessarily getting to 10, because that might be a push, but just that, having that in your mind, thriving for that, you'll see a major shift in everything that you do. And I recently applied that into a situation, a negative situation that happened online with me, and I just, instead of breaking down, you know, all of a sudden his lessons came into my mind, and I said, you know what, I'm going to ignore it, I'm just going to push and just use a 10X rule, and I mean, it works, and I can personally say that it works, and it not only shifted the consciousness of, you know, the people around me, but it also shifted mine. I said, you know, I'm not giving up, I'm not changing, nothing is stopping me, I'm just moving forward, and the shift, everyone had to follow suit. If you dwell on something, yeah, everyone else is going to dwell on it with you. But when you're saying you're moving forward, you're just moving forward, and everyone is coming with you, and those who are not, they are just not. So definitely the 10X rule, something you should pick up, very eye-opening. So today we're talking about this is actually his first book, but I was introduced to the second one. If you're not first, you're last. That's the title of this book. I will definitely tell you to come pick it up, and I'm pretty much thinking, and maybe you're not, because you, by now you know how I am. It's been a year. It's gonna be a year in April. I'm so excited. You should know that I always bring business information. I always bring arts information. I always bring whatever I can to help us move forward. And I love that I'm doing that, because so many people are exposing their methods to me of how they do things. I mean, people that I wouldn't think that would be sharing their secrets, share their secrets with me. And I said, okay, that means I'm in a good position. And I appreciate all of the information that I get from everyone. And whatever I can share with you, I will. So I'm sharing this book, if you're not first, you're last, because as I read this some years ago, and, you know, I've kind of refreshed myself on this, and recently it came to me that if you're not first, if you're not the winner, you know, when we think of first, you're the winner, you're the pioneer, you're the originator, those things. Even though there's nothing original under the sun, but still, you're the originator of, you know, getting out there and doing this. It feels good. Not only does it feel good, and this is addressed in the book as well, not only does it feel good, but it puts you in a position where people are coming to you and you're not going to them, which is always a great feeling. Yes, you always want to, you know, collaborate with people, but it's such an awesome feeling when someone comes to you and says, hey, I see what you're doing. I see how you're working. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And there's just something so powerful about being in that position. And in the poetry world, we've seen that a lot. You know, if it wasn't for Chris Smith and introducing slam poetry, there is a culture that we might have missed out on. It might have been different, but the slam poetry culture has cultivated a lot of success for many, many, many folks across the globe who may have not been able to move forward in the arts industry the way that they have, but being able to dominate the slam poetry market and using it for themselves to their advantage, they've been able to present themselves as, you know, I've won this, I've won that, I've been a part of this, I was the first to do this, I was first to start a team, and I was the first coach. There's so many firsts that happen within the slam poetry culture, and that has rejuvenated a lot of the love for poetry. Though, you know, us as poets, when we sit together and we talk, we have our varied opinions about that, especially when we're not in a slam competition, we're just hanging out. You know, not everyone is a slam poet. I don't consider myself a slam poet at all. I'm not really that great at that pressure, but I love it. You know, I love being there. I love supporting. And it helps me to hone my own craft and push myself to do better. That's one thing I do say, and I take that to my features, where I'm much more comfortable, and my presentation is like a slam. I don't know what it is about the competition that gets me thrown off, but but what's awesome, again, you know, if you have that on your resume, that first of this, I've done this and done this, it's just dynamic. Now, what about the people that I might, like myself, not consider slam poets, not really into it, not haven't been able to kind of master that area? Well, then does that mean that our career doesn't take off? Obviously, you can see for myself that's not the case. But what happens is that you have to find your niche and make yourself first in that niche, whatever it is, reader's theater, teaching artist, whatever. Find a way to make yourself first, because, you know, Grant Cardone was not the first salesman to ever live, and I'm pretty sure he's read many, many material, but he decided to make things his own. That's what being first is really about, taking things and making it your own, and then from there, using that to dominate your market. That's a very strong word, dominate. Now, here's the other aspect of this. What am I saying when I say, well, what if you come second? Coming second, let me back up for a second. I've talked about this class often. We'll have people come on the show from the cultural division down here in South Florida, the Art Entrepreneurship Institute, that's down here in Broward. I know a lot of us probably have never even heard of it. There's probably about, I'd say, a alumni of about, I think I might be stretching it when I say 300. I had the number in my head, but it's jumbled in there. But it's basically a business development class for the arts. It's within the month of June for all four Saturdays, and it's an amazing class. I mean, oh, by the time you're done, you're like so drenched with information. There hasn't been someone that hasn't walked out of that class and feel like, oh my goodness, I feel like that was like a business course. And those students that have been in Art Institute and fine arts programs, there's this, for them, those programs are great. They just have their master's or they have their degree within those schools. They have that technique, but this gives them the know-how, how to execute it, the business entrepreneurship aspect of being that type of artist. And I recommend, again, that class to anyone with the culture division of Broward County. And I do always put up their flyer once it comes out on my Facebook page. So definitely check that out under Regal Poet, RAGALPOETE. And there's a small business development group that comes out and teaches two of the classes. And one, you know, sitting there last year, he said something so profound. He said, you know, Picasso was first to do this, and he just spoke about various artists, the first to do that. And he stopped and said, now you need to understand, you have to make a decision. You either have to choose to be first, it's a choice, or you choose to be second. That's the next choice. And I thought that was kind of profound. And he elaborated, I guess we all had that look on our face. Of course, we all want to be first. And he said, well, when you decide to be first, you have to sacrifice something. For you to be first, dominant in the market, You have to decide that that's where you want to be and know that you're going to be sacrificing something else in order for that. Most of these artists, if you study them, they were loners. They may have had broken families. They had mental issues. There was some disparity somewhere, and even their significant others expressed that yes, there's certain things that had to be sacrificed, time, effort had to be sacrificed in order for them to dominate that market. And I can think of so many even different leaders, from Martin to Malcolm. When you even watch their documentaries, you know, you see that there was a struggle at home, because in order to do that, your whole effort, time and effort has to go into delivering to that market. That's what being first is about. What sacrifices are you going to make in order for you to be first? Same thing with second. You're making the decision to be second, and why it was important for me to discuss this is that second just means that I'm not sacrificing my family, time with my family, time with things, in order for me to be first. That's all second means. I may not devote so much time into writing three books, but I might write one. So it's not that you're sacrificing by being coming in second. Doesn't mean that you're deleting yourself from the equation. Doesn't mean that you're not going to hone your craft. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be an expert in the craft. It's just you deciding, you know what? I have other things that have to take priority. Being first in this market is not it. If I could use myself as an example, you know, I had to sacrifice a year and a half, almost 2 years of time with my daughter away overseas in order for myself and Miss Quote to do a 37, 57 tour respectively overseas. I made the decision that financially I couldn't take my daughter, and spiritually I didn't want to take my daughter, and I just didn't want to take my daughter overseas for the first time. But I knew that that was a sacrifice I had to make for what I was trying to do. And we were one of the first to have a self-independent tour that was so elaborate. You know, that can never be taken away from us. And we've seen so many people, you know, after us, start so many things because of that. And we're proud of every single person, but we knew that that was what was going to happen, you know. And people do come to us and ask us, well, how did you do this? How did you do that? I knew that. It was very, 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 very hard conversations, calling home every time. Sometimes I couldn't call home as much as I tried. There was no internet. There was no signal. So, you know, it was really, really hard. It was really, really hard. But so because of that, I completely understand. So now that I came back, I had the opportunity to go back. I decided I think I'm going to be second now because I want to be home. But I also wanted to do this. I wanted to have a radio show and do these types of things. So that's why being first and second is so important. At the end of the day, the moral of the whole story is you have to decide. You have to make a decision and then be comfortable with that decision, because no one is going to know the decision that you make. They're only going to see what you put forth. And you have to be ready to either be ignored or be completely overwhelmed. It's one of those things. So I think those are things that we don't talk about, we don't think about, that we really, truly need to address. And that just puts a peace in our heart. That just makes things, that just allows us to go to the next level. And it also allows us to make things happen in our way. We understand how to make things happen in our way. So that's my spiel on that. But I want to go into more of what Grant Cardone spoke about as it pertains to how to dominate your market and how, you know, what being second also looks like. So I want to go ahead and just take a quick break. I'm pretty sure there's some notes that you would like to take, and I want to play a poem. Can I do that? Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. As if you were going to say no. But I want to play a poem from Miss Jessica Rowvogt. Excuse me, no. We're going to start off with Miss Tanya Ingram. One of the students that I've been teaching at one of the schools exposed me to Miss Tanya Ingram. Probably some of you guys know her and say, oh, my gosh, Ramon, you need to be up on game. But I just really, really enjoyed this poem, and I just love the fact that, you know, the students are finding their voice. We're talking about Calvin Maidson and, you know, certain poets that have these styles, and these kids are resonating with them, choosing who they see as a leader and formulating their own persona through it, and I think that's just so amazing. So Miss Tanya Ingram now is unsolicited advice to a skinny person. And I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Regal Poet Radio Show. Again, that was Miss Tony Ingram, and then we ended it off with Miss, quote, fabulous, fabulous poetry, dynamite stuff. I love both of them. And you guys know I love Miss Quote out there. So we're talking about what it means to come in second, and of course, what the position of being first means. So we're reading from the book Grant Cardone's If You're Not First, You're Last. It's ways to dominate your market and beat basically your competition, which I didn't mention that before because I never usually talk about that. But when you think about it, it all is a competition for you to make sure you give your best presentation and that you are recognized for your work. So that's something that I'm growing into and loving, and I guess I do it on a daily basis, but it's always uncomfortable to state it. But that's something that we need to do, because when you dominate a market, you know, it gives you an opportunity to teach others. It gives you an opportunity to collaborate with some great, great people, and it gives you the opportunity to be that funnel. I like being that funnel for artists, and that funnel to get things going, get things happening. So, again, make sure you check us out on Facebook, Regal Poet, REGALPOETE. We're also on YouTube, where the poems that you just heard will be part of our Regal Poets of the Week, and also all of the Instagram, all the social media, basically, we were able to dominate that with Regal Poets, and you'll see the links for this book, the links for the poets, as I stated, and also questions, any information you need, email us, regalpoet@gmail.com. I love the information that you guys are sending so far, and I appreciate all that you have. So shout out to Miss Sonia, the sunflower, who always keeps us on and always has just some great compliments and great things to say. So let's continue that. One of the chapters discusses, and I discussed this before, the aspect of that list, you know, multiplying yourself. It's called Multiply Through Existing Clients. And I state that because a lot of the times we get all of these opportunities. We keep hearing these opportunities, and just keep moving and contacting and getting to know people. You know, we have that thing where when we love to network because we just love to meet new people. But what about the people that you've had in the past that just need to hear from you again? They just need to know that you're there. It's not that they don't appreciate you and don't want to participate or engage with you. It's just that they sometimes need to be led. A lot of clients need to be led to you, meaning that you just reaching out and saying, hey, it's been a while. Thank you so much for always supporting me, buying my CD, buying this book, coming to this show, having another book come out. We have a GoFundMe project going on. Those types of things, tapping into who has already been supporting you is almost like an easy way for you to get more support. And then you have this fan base that can let other people know through word of mouth, because they're excited about being part of your fan base. They also not only can support, but have others support you. And, you know, they can spread your word, share it, which once people are sharing your information, that also leverages other things to happen for you. And then they can testimonial that you can use on your materials, from your press kit to your website to all of your pages, you know, whatever you have out there, they can, because they have that experience with you. And if they're not new, they don't have to guess. They love you already. They can go ahead and do that. And then, again, you're building up loyalty to you. And that's what it really is all about. You, a lot of the information that you have, these poems that you're sharing, that you're giving out, the lyrics that you're putting out, it's so you can engage people, but you're also building a community that way, a community of fans that follow you and support you and always are ready to do things for you. And I thought that is so true. Building up through the clients that you have, okay? So that's important. And then what's also good about that is, going back to the leveraging, it helps you to, again, position yourself as first or second. What happens is that if you're known for always dishing out information, now you have another set of eyes that can see things that are going on there and say, oh, wow, you know what? I know this person would like this. So let me go ahead and share that with them. If you're known for always engaging people, people will also want to always watch what you're doing, comment on what you're doing, and recycle the information that you put out there. All of those things are important, especially the public ones. All of that is absolutely important for you. I love that. So that's the importance of attracting the past people that you worked with, and you know they get forgotten. And so creating a list would allow you to be organized and be able to do that. Okay. Another aspect of this is, I thought that was so good, act hungry. There's a chapter called Act Hungry. And for me, I was like, wow, that's interesting. As I'm reading it, I get it. It's that when you get to a certain plateau, a lot of times people say you quote unquote sold out or quote unquote lost touch, and the reason why that is because now when you go back and you're performing or you're around your peers, you're around your fan base, if you're not engaging with them or giving them that sense that you appreciate who they are and appreciate their business to you, they feel like you don't need them. They feel the fans feel like you don't need them. The fans feel unappreciated, and because of that, they don't want to maybe spend on you again or support you again. It's not that they've lost their appreciation of you; they just lost that feeling that okay, this person is someone that I support. I love to support and I love to be engaged in. So make sure when you're meeting with your clients, when you're meeting with your peers, there's not this air of, okay, I'm better than everyone. When you do that, that's like killing your connection. So make sure you have that feeling of, I appreciate what you do. I always want you to support me. I always want any time that you want to engage in what I'm doing, maybe you want to give this to someone else, maybe because there's always someone that can benefit from your work. Not just that first, oh, yeah, you bought my CD. Okay, buy another one. Give it to someone else. Share it with someone. Share it with your schools, the teachers, anyone that you can. That's the best way to do that. And I've seen quite a number of people do that, in my circle. And I think, whew, they're just on top of it when it comes to re-engaging people, getting people and saying, hey, no matter, like recently, no matter, whenever I'm with Oski Gonzalez and we're working on something, he still has that, man, it's got to work. He still has that hunger and that desire. Okay, man, I mean, for me, I'm like, no, you know it's going to work. But there's still that level of, you just never know. It's got to work. It's got to work. And that is so important and so appreciated. And that's how he builds up a newfound fan base along the way, because he's always, always hungry, always connecting, always recycling his old folks. It's just, I think he does a really, really good job of that. So let's go ahead and check out another poem before we wrap up the show here. I apologize because I feel like I'm going to sneeze again. this time we're going to hear a poem. I like this poem a lot, from Steve Connell. I know I've played it before, but I really want it to resonate with you guys because I just love the whole fact that he stretched himself and did this poem for Farmers Insurance. And any example that we have, that you have, I was looking for that Heineken commercial that, no, excuse me, this Guinness commercial that had a poet on there who just ripped it, but I haven't been able to find it. If you guys know what I'm talking about, please forward and send it to me so that I can have that as an example, or any other examples of poems that are used for commercials. You know, that's what we're about. So I'm going to go ahead and play Steve Hotto's We Are Farmers, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Regal Poet Radio Show. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and we are the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, and we are discussing what it means to be second, what it means to be first, what that position actually means. So to recap, basically being first and second means a choice. First means that you are embodied by that craft, by that decision, by what you're doing, and that's your main focus. It's number one. Second means it is a priority, but your family, your God, school, there's another area that comes first, or that not necessarily takes precedence, but is not neglected in order to get into your craft. Both means your craft is honed. Both means that you are an expert. It's just positioned in a certain way. The first, your position that is what your leadership is. Second, you have other areas of yourself that where you're a leader as well. And how to do this? We just said number one, you need to decide. It is a choice again. Number two, get others involved. Rejuvenate your connection with past clients. You know, use that for leverage, use that for support, use that for testimonials. Number three, hungry, which is one of, I believe, the most important, because if you always act like you appreciate, you give thanks to others, you make their business important, deemed important, and work on your air when you are in a place, definitely it'll grow your connection with your past clients, and also seeing that will increase your new clients as well. The last thing I wanted to talk about is expansion. You know, it is really important that you expand, you expand, you expand. What I mean by that is you're always, once you've dominated an area, you always either teach others to come into that area, so that you're known as also, okay, not only am I first, but I know how to bring others. So now you're a teacher at the same time. That expands your portfolio, but expanding into other things as well. And I think that Ms. Felicia Hatcher with Feverish Code, with, Feverish Props, with Code Fever, she does such a great job of knowing what the next thing is, because she stays so close to the fire, so close to the technology genre, the business and technology, entrepreneurship and technology genre, that it's hard to touch her, which is good. That's amazing. And you know who to go to in terms of experience, but it expands her as businesses change and things are changing. It's allowed her to expand her knowledge, expand herself, allow her to still not have to necessarily rebrand herself as an artist, as a creative arts small business leader. But it allowed her to grow. She started in one place, and I'm just watching her grow into another area, but still keep the same aspect that she's learned. I think that that's amazing. I definitely think that with this radio show, it's allowed me to do that as well, in the sense that, you know, instead of just having an open mic venue, I just increase the connection by having a show that anyone can come to another platform. So as you expand, you're building up other platforms for people, and as you expand, you are increasing your knowledge base. A lot of this information that I'm getting, I realize I knew already, but I wasn't utilizing. And so because I wasn't utilizing them, they were not growing. They were not expanding. And once I started the radio show, I was like, wow, I did go to to school for the right degree, because I'm dipping right into my memory bank, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot all of this stuff. But now I'm expanding into arts journalism, so I'm writing now for artists, which is, you know, what I've always looked to do, but now it's allowed me to have other options, you know, producing, and there's just so many other things that I can open myself up to. But if I would have stayed in one niche, if I would have just stayed in where I felt that I was dominating, it wouldn't allow me to get what I want. You know, at the end of the day, you got to get what you want. And I wanted to be here with my daughter. And it allows me to still grow as an artist. Because if she can't see me growing, I don't know. I can't see myself. I don't see how. And a lot of mothers and women do this. They sacrifice themselves so much that they end up like imploding. No, I have to explode. I gotta expand. And I see an increased activity in her as well. So yay, I'm on the right direction. Kudos for that. So that's it for that. I just want to hit those points. If this is something you would like to expand on, please hit me up on Facebook. Forgive my colloquialism there, but yes, check us out. Facebook, Regal Poet, and regalpoet.com, which is up and running, yes. And then, of course, the email, regalpoet@gmail.com. I want to see if this is resonating with you, because this is really a topic that, man, when it struck me in that class, I was like, wow, you know, it built up my confidence. It built up, you know, who I want to be, and I just want that for everyone as well. Maybe we could talk about third and fourth. What do those things mean? And I always think about, you know, Microsoft and Apple. You know, they have this battle for first and second, but it's not really a battle necessarily. It's really just about preference, and it's about position. Some of the people that you would think is first are not. It's just a perception, and we could all learn from that and grow into that. So I appreciate you guys so much for listening in and being with us again. This was an exciting topic for me. Next week is an even more exciting topic, where we have Ms. Mosat from Philips Media, who's going to talk about how to utilize the media so that you can get what you want in terms of how others perceive you out in the media, how to get your shows, your events, your books, whatever it is, how to get that out there in a way and leverage the media in order for you to get support, in order for you to get funding, in order for you to get exactly what you want, if it's exposure, if it's increased activity, whatever you want. That's what we're discussing. So I'm so excited to have Ms. Mosat on this show. She was a correspondent with NBC, so she has a plethora of experience, over 20 years, and I'm just elated for that. All right, guys, so you guys enjoy the rest of your day, your rest of your lunch. We're going to end it right here, and tune in next week to the Regal Poet Radio Show, where we just always are excited to share the best practices of the creative arts business. So you guys take care. Have a good one.
We now come to the end of another dynamic episode of the Regal Poet Radio Show. I truly hope you enjoyed yourselves and learned something that inspires you, educates you, and empowers you to take your art form to the next level. The pieces you have heard today will be the featured videos on our YouTube channel at Regal Poet under the Regal Poet of the Week playlist. Leave a comment and a like. More importantly, share on the social media you use, or just send an email to a friend or a colleague of the playlist and of one of our Regal notes off of Facebook, also under Regal Poet. That's spelled REGALPOETE. If there's a poem you would like to share that inspired you to love poetry, a poet who fits the bill as a great entrepreneur, or a topic you would like to hear on our show, please feel free to contact us at regalpoet, REGALPOETE, at gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 772-245-POET. That's 772-245-7638. We also like photos of our Regal Poets looking fabulous, so you can tag us with hashtag Regal Poet, where we'll find it on all of the photo apps from Instagram to Flickr. We will see it. We're on all of those. This program is being made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to be a member of the Regal Poet family, please leave a donation through PayPal with our email, REGALPOETE@gmail.com, as the recipient. Again, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be featuring another Regal Poet of the Week. Enjoy the rest of your lunch, and always remember what poet Walt Whitman says. There are two selves, public self and the real self, the regal self. Regal poets say, be yourself, be regal.
Regal Poet Radio.